You know that feeling when you're putting in the hours? The effort is absolutely there, but the results just aren't quite clicking. It's like there's a missing piece, maybe something you're just not seeing that's holding back real progress. Well, that's exactly what we're digging into today.
Absolutely. And in the world of B2B sales and marketing, those unseen obstacles, well, that's often what we call blind spots. They're the areas we maybe don't realize are hindering us, or the assumptions we've made that might just not be true anymore, or even just ingrained habits that are actually working against our goals.
And to help us sort of illuminate these tricky areas, we've got a fantastic collection of resources we've been looking at. We've been diving deep into a whole range of diagnostic worksheets covering, well, pretty much everything from the customer's journey to how well our teams are performing. And that's alongside a really comprehensive, modern B2B sales training marketing playbook.
Sounds useful.
Yeah, think of this as your shortcut, really, to getting incredibly clear on the crucial factors for growth. So our mission today is pretty straightforward. We want to pull out the most valuable insights from these sources and give you practical ways to identify and hopefully fix those hidden roadblocks.
So whether you're leading a sales team or maybe driving marketing initiatives, or perhaps you're running the whole business and just scratching your head about stalled growth, this deep dive is really designed to provide that aha moment and, crucially, a clear path forward. We'll be focusing on six key areas where these blind spots, they tend to crop up most often.
Okay, let's unpack this then, starting with, well, maybe the engine room of any revenue-generating organization, the sales process. Fundamental.
Now, our playbook and the diagnostic tools we looked at, they really hammer home just how vital a well-oiled process is, for consistently turning prospects into happy customers.
Indeed. A clearly defined sales process. It brings structure, predictability, and importantly, the ability to actually measure and improve things.
Our sources prompt us to ask some pretty fundamental questions here. Like, is your sales process actually documented? And is it followed consistently?
That's a big one.
It is. And how effective are you really at identifying the right leads and then nurturing them properly through the pipeline? Are you seeing a steady improvement in your closing rates? Are you tracking performance at each distinct stage of that buying journey?
You need those metrics.
Absolutely. And maybe most importantly today, does your process actually reflect how your customers really make purchasing decisions now? Because that's changed.
Yeah, definitely. And here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because our sources highlight some surprisingly common pitfalls.
Like what?
Well, think about teams that operate with just ad hoc selling. You know, everyone's kind of improvising, there's no consistent approach day to day.
Right, winging it.
Exactly. Or the kind of black hole of inconsistent follow-ups, where promising leads just vanish.
Lost opportunities.
A huge one is often just a lack of metrics. Like you said, you can't manage what you don't measure, right? Then there's the underutilization of CRM systems, these powerful tools just sort of sitting there gathering digital dust.
Happens all the time.
And a big one in today's environment is failing to adapt to modern buyer behavior. Are we still pushing maybe outdated tactics that just aren't landing
Good
anymore?
question.
For example, are sales teams spending, precious time on that initial outreach, but to leads that don't even fit our ideal customer profile? Just wasted effort.
And what's fascinating here is that the playbook, it offers not just a list of problems, but actually concrete opportunity levers.
Okay, so solution.
Instead of just saying improve lead qualification, it delves into specific tactics. For instance, the playbook really emphasizes the value of shared training sessions.
Between sales and marketing.
Focus on jointly defining that ideal customer profile, not just demographics, but really getting into their specific pain points, their desired outcomes. And having that shared understanding right at the outset, well, that can dramatically improve the quality of leads that marketing passes over to sales.
That makes total sense. And to really bring this to life, we've got a pretty compelling case study from a B2B SaaS company. They were struggling with exactly those issues, inconsistent sales tactics, things like that.
So how did they tackle it?
Well, they implemented clearly defined sales stages. They standardized the essential data fields in their CRM, which is crucial for tracking.
Consistency, yeah.
And importantly, They trained their team on a specific methodology called GAP selling.
GAP selling.
Yeah, it focuses on really understanding the prospect's current situation, where they want to be their desired future state, and then positioning your solution as bridging that gap.
Okay. I see. It makes sense.
And the results were pretty significant. A 25% increase in their lead-to-opportunity conversion rate and a 40% faster sales cycle overall.
That's a tangible impact just from addressing those process blind spots. And for those of you listening and wondering, okay, where do we even begin with this? Our sources provide some practical tools, too.
Like templates and things.
Exactly. Think of a sales process map template helps you visually lay out your current flow. A weekly sales review template ensures consistent tracking and analysis.
Hey.
There's a GAP selling checklist to guide your team's discovery conversations, making sure they ask the right questions, and a pipeline visibility dashboard for that crucial overview of where all your deals actually stand.
So these aren't just theoretical concepts then?
Not at all. They're actionable tools you can actually implement.
All right, good stuff. Moving on then to blind spot number two, marketing alignment. Now, this is an area where friction can really stifle growth, can't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It sometimes feels like sales and marketing are, I don't know, speaking different dialects, even though they're supposedly aiming for the same destination.
That's a great way to put it, actually. At its core, marketing alignment is just about ensuring your marketing and sales teams are strategically in sync.
Right.
Working towards shared revenue goals with a unified approach.
So what are the key questions here from the diagnostic?
Well, it asks things like, do both teams operate with shared revenue targets and key performance indicators? Is there a crystal clear, mutually agreed upon definition of what constitutes a marketing qualified lead, MQL?
The MQL definition. Always tricky.
And a sales qualified lead, SQL. Are both teams actively collaborating on understanding your ideal customer profiles and mapping out their journey?
So working together on that.
Yes. Is there a consistent two-way feedback loop between the departments? And do marketing and sales actually provide input and feedback on each other's campaigns and initiatives?
Right. And just like with the sales process, a lack of alignment here can cause some serious headaches, I imagine.
Definitely. Our sources point to common gaps, like those misaligned goals we touched on.
Yeah, volume versus quality.
Exactly. Marketing might be solely focused on generating a high volume of leads, while sales is crying out for higher quality prospects.
Leads to frustration.
Big time. Inconsistent lead definitions are a constant source of that frustration. What marketing considers sales ready might be seen as totally premature by the sales team.
Okay.
Then you've got disparate technology systems that don't integrate. That creates data silos, missed opportunity.
I can't see the whole picture.
Exactly. A simple lack of open communication breeds misunderstandings, finger pointing. And when processes are completely siloed, well, the customer's experience inevitably suffers in the end.
Okay, so that's the problem. What about the solutions, the opportunity levers?
Well, again, our sources offer concrete levers to bridge these divides. Instead of just saying improve communication, the playbook highlights a specific tactic, implementing shared win-loss analysis sessions.
Win-loss analysis. Tell me more.
So sales and marketing get together, collaboratively review recent deals, both the ones they won and the ones they lost, to identify patterns.
Okay.
And spot areas for improvement in lead gen, qualification, sales strategies, messaging, everything.
So it creates a direct feedback loop.
Precisely. And fosters that shared understanding of what's actually working out there and what isn't.
We saw a case study on this, didn't we? TechTarget.
Yes, the TechTarget case study really highlights the power of this. They implemented a closed-loop-led follow-up system.
What does closed-loop mean exactly?
It means marketing could track the progress of the leads they generated all the way through the sales cycle.
Ah, visibility.
Right. And sales was actually required to provide specific feedback on the quality of each lead they received from marketing.
So, accountability.
Exactly. That direct accountability and information sharing, it led to much more effective lead nurturing by marketing and significantly improved conversion rates by sales. That continuous feedback loop is just invaluable.
Makes sense.
And when it comes to tools and frameworks for actually fostering this marketing alignment, our sources point to more than just technology.
Oh.
Yes, obviously lead management and pipeline management tools are important for that shared visibility. But also strategic frameworks.
Like what?
Like the SOSTAT framework situation, objectives, strategy, tactics, action, control.
Okay.
Or the OGSM framework, objectives, goals, strategies, measures.
Right.
And what's particularly useful about these frameworks is they provide a structured approach for both teams to collaboratively define and track progress toward shared objectives. It ensures everyone is really on the same page strategically.
Got it. So it aligns the thinking, not just the process.
Exactly.
Okay, blind spot number three. This one takes a look inward, right? At team performance. Because even with a, you know, rock solid process and perfectly aligned marketing, if your team isn't operating effectively together, you're going to hit a performance ceiling eventually.
Precisely. Team performance is all about how effectively your sales and marketing teams, both individually and crucially, collectively, contribute to achieving the organization's goals.
So what should we be asking ourselves here, according to the diagnostic?
We need to consider, are team goals clearly defined, communicated, and truly understood by everyone involved?
Clarity is key.
Absolutely. Is there a culture of open and effective communication within and between the teams? Do team members have a clear understanding of their specific roles, their responsibilities, and importantly, how they contribute to the bigger picture?
Knowing your part.
Yes. Is there a consistent and constructive system in place for providing feedback? Not just top-down, but maybe peer-to-peer too.
Good point.
And how does the team effectively address conflicts and challenges when they inevitably arise? Because they always do.
Yeah, they do. And the sources, I bet they reveal some pretty familiar challenges in this area.
Oh, definitely. All too familiar. Unclear objectives are a major stumbling block.
Right, if you don't know the target.
Exactly. Your efforts will likely be scattered. Poor communication, as always, leads to misunderstandings, missed deadlines, maybe duplicated work.
Wasted effort again.
Yes. Undefined roles create confusion, maybe overlap in responsibilities, or worse, critical tasks just falling through the cracks because nobody owns them. Inadequate feedback leaves team members unsure of their strengths and weaknesses, which hinders their professional development. And of course, resistance to change can stifle innovation and prevent the adoption of more effective strategies or tools.
So what are the levers we can pull here, the opportunity levers for team performance?
Well, they go beyond just saying improve communication, thankfully. The playbook emphasizes the importance of implementing regular skill sharing sessions within the team.
Skill sharing, like internal training.
Sort of, yeah. It could involve experienced team members sharing best practices, maybe demonstrating successful techniques they use, or even cross-training between sales and marketing roles.
Interesting.
That helps foster a deeper understanding of each other's challenges and workflows. It not only improves individual skills, but really strengthens team cohesion and collaboration too.
That makes sense. We saw an example of this, right? A tech company.
Yes, a great example. Mm-hmm. A tech company that was experiencing significant project delays and quite a bit of internal conflict.
So what did they do?
They tackled it head on by clearly defining individual roles and responsibilities within their project teams. They set SMART goals.
Specific, measurable.
Achievable, relevant, time-bound goals, exactly, for each project phase. And they implemented structured weekly feedback sessions focused specifically on progress and any challenges people were facing.
And the results?
A 30% faster project delivery time.
Wow.
And importantly, a noticeable improvement in overall team morale. When everyone knows their role and feels supported and heard, productivity naturally increases.
Yeah, that follows.
And to support team performance, our sources suggest leveraging not just general team performance assessment tools, but also specific things like communication platforms.
Like Slack or Teams.
Exactly. Maybe setting up dedicated channels for specific projects or initiatives to improve focused communication, cut down the noise.
Okay.
Project management software like Asana or Trello can provide transparency on tasks and deadlines so everyone knows who's doing what and when.
Visibility again.
Crucial. And implementing various feedback mechanisms, things like 360-degree feedback, or just regular structured one-on-one meetings can really foster that culture of continuous improvement.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Blind spot number four. This shifts our focus outwards again, doesn't it, to the crucial external perspective, the customer experience, CX. In today's competitive landscape, it's definitely not just about making the initial sale anymore. It's about the entire journey your customers have with your brand, right?
Exactly right. Customer experience, or CX, it encompasses every single interaction a customer has with your company, from their very initial awareness of your brand, right through to post-purchase support and hopefully ongoing engagement.
It's the whole life cycle.
The whole thing. So our diagnostic prompts us to consider, are customer interactions consistent and seamless across all the different channels they might use to engage with you?
Wow.
Phone, email, website, chat.
Omnichannel.
Yes. Do you actively solicit and, importantly, act upon customer feedback? It's not enough just to collect it. Is your customer support responsive, efficient, and effective when people need help? Are you personalizing customer experiences based on what you know about their needs and preferences?
Making it relevant.
Yes. And are you proactively anticipating potential customer needs or addressing potential issues before they escalate into major problems?
That sounds like the gold standard.
It is, but it's achievable. Unfortunately, our sources highlight some all too common gaps in CX.
Like what kind of gaps?
Well, inconsistent experiences across different channels is a big one. You know, a really clunky mobile website versus maybe a helpful phone support team. That inconsistency can be incredibly frustrating for customers.
Yeah, jar.
Slow response times are a major pain point, especially in today's instant communication environment. People expect quick answers. Neglecting personalization makes customers feel like just another number, another transaction, rather than, you know, a valued relationship.
You lose loyalty.
Absolutely. Inefficient internal processes, maybe clunky handoffs between departments that can lead to errors and delays that negatively impact the customer. And failing to anticipate customer needs means you're constantly just reacting to problems instead of proactively building that loyalty and trust.
Okay, so lots of potential pitfalls. What about the levers for improving CX?
Well, the opportunity levers for elevating customer experience, they go beyond just stating improve responsiveness. The playbook really emphasizes the creation of detailed customer journey maps.
Journey maps. Explain those a bit.
Okay, so it's about collaboratively mapping out, usually involving sales, marketing, and customer support teams, every single touch point a customer has with your brand, visualizing the whole path.
Start to finish.
Exactly. And by doing that, you can identify potential pain points, friction areas, or opportunities for improvement along that journey.
For instance,
the journey map might reveal that customers are consistently dropping off at a particular stage in your onboarding process. That then prompts a targeted effort to improve that specific step, make it smoother, clearer.
Makes sense. We saw a retail example for this, didn't we?
Yes, the retail company case study really illustrates the impact. They had significant inconsistencies between their online experience and their in-store experience.
Common problem for retailers.
Very. So they created a unified omni-channel strategy based on detailed customer journey mapping, and they leveraged AI-powered personalization to tailor product recommendations and communications across those channels.
And what happened?
The results were remarkable. A 25% increase in customer satisfaction scores.
Wow.
And a 15% boost in repeat purchases. That shows that a well-thought-out, consistent customer journey really does make all the difference.
Definitely drive loyalty and revenue.
And for those looking to enhance their CX, our sources recommend not just specific customer journey mapping tools, but also robust customer feedback platforms to actively gather those crucial insights.
Listening tool.
Yes. CRM systems are, of course, essential for centralizing customer data and enabling those personalized interactions at scale.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding different CX maturity models can actually provide a useful roadmap for continuous improvement of your overall customer experience strategy. Where are you now? Where do you want to go?
Okay, good resources. Moving on now to blind spot number 5. And this is where effective execution really comes into play. Efficiency and tools.
Mm-hmm. Getting things done right.
Yeah. How strategically are you actually leveraging the resources and the technologies available to you?
Well, operational efficiency is really about optimizing your internal processes and making the most effective use of your available tools, software, systems, etc., to achieve your desired outcomes.
With minimum waste.
Exactly. With the least amount of wasted time, effort, and resources. So our diagnostic asks, are your current tools truly supporting your core workflows and your business objectives? Or are they maybe getting in the way?
Good question.
Are you experiencing any persistent bottlenecks or redundancies in your operational processings? Things that slow you down unnecessarily?
Okay.
Is there a culture of continuous improvement? A willingness to adopt new, potentially more efficient technologies?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there resistance?
Yeah, the we've always done it this way problem.
Exactly. Are you actively measuring the return on investment, ROI, of the tools you've implemented? Are they actually paying for themselves? And are your employees adequately trained and proficient in using these tools to their full potential?
So much potential waste there. And the sources, they must reveal some common inefficiencies here
Oh,
too.
absolutely. Surprisingly common. Tool overload is a significant issue sometimes.
Too many tools.
Yeah, investing in too many disparate systems that maybe perform similar functions, it actually creates more complexity, not less.
Right.
A lack of seamless integration between critical tools hinders data flow and creates annoying manual workarounds. Copy-pasting. Resistance to change from team members, like you said, can prevent the adoption of more efficient processes and technologies. Insufficient training often leads to underutilized features or just incorrect usage of expensive software.
So you're not getting the value.
Exactly. And failing to regularly evaluate the effectiveness of your existing tools can result in continuing to invest in solutions that aren't actually delivering the expected value anymore. Maybe they're outdated.
Okay, so what are the levers here? How do we boost efficiency?
Well, the opportunity levers for enhancing efficiency, they go beyond just recommending, buy this new software. The playbook emphasizes the value of regular process audits.
Process audits.
Yeah, conducted collaboratively across different departments, mapping out key workflows step by step, and actively identifying areas of friction, bottlenecks, or maybe just unnecessary steps that have crept in over time.
Okay, finding the waste.
That's exactly. Finding opportunities for streamlining and automation. For example, a process audit might reveal that a multi-step approval process for marketing content could actually be significantly shortened without compromising quality,
Freeing up time.
freeing up valuable time for everyone involved.
We saw a really cool case study for this one, the design firm Rocket Air.
Yes, Rocket Air, a fantastic example of this in action. They didn't just implement a 4-day work week, which is interesting in itself, but they also strategically leveraged specific AI-powered tools. Things like ChatGPT for content creation assistance, Notion for project management, Otter.ai for automatically transcribing meetings,
Saves a ton of time.
and Lovable.dev for development tasks. This really focused approach to adopting and integrating specific tools directly addressed their operational bottlenecks.
Targeted approach.
Very. It improved their project management efficiency significantly and allowed their team to focus more on the higher value creative work, less on the admin. It's a real testament to the power of thoughtful tool selection and process optimization.
Yeah, using tech smartly.
And when it comes to the broader landscape of tools and frameworks for boosting efficiency, our sources highlight not just the usual suspects like project management tools, communication tools, and automation platforms.
Like Zapier and things.
Exactly. But also established process improvement frameworks. Things like Lean, which focuses on eliminating waste. Six Sigma focus on reducing variability and errors, and 5S focus on workplace organization.
Right. Established methodologies.
Yes. And of course, the intelligent application of AI-powered tools, like in the Rocket Air example, can significantly augment human capabilities and automate those repetitive, time-consuming tasks.
Makes sense. Okay, finally, we arrive at blind spot number six. And this feels like the foundation, really. The bedrock upon which all successful B2B efforts have to be built, strategic clarity.
Absolutely. You could have the best processes, the best tools, the best team. But without a clear and compelling vision, even the most efficient operations can lose their way, drift off course.
Yeah. So what exactly is strategic clarity?
It's about having a deep and, importantly, shared understanding across the organization of your fundamental purpose, your mission, your aspirational long-term vision, your clearly defined objectives, and the specific strategies you will employ to achieve those objectives.
Everyone pulling in the same direction.
Precisely. So our diagnostic prompts us to consider, what is your organization's core purpose and mission? Is it clear? Is it compelling?
Okay.
What are your key long-term objectives? And do you have detailed plans for achieving them? How do you effectively differentiate yourselves in the market? What makes you unique?
Your value proposition.
Yes. Are your overarching strategies consistently understood and aligned across all the different departments within your organization? Does finance understand marketing strategy and sales understand product strategy?
Crucial alignment.
Very. And how do you consistently measure success and track your progress towards those big strategic goals?
Okay. And I assume the sources highlight common pitfalls here too. Where does strategic clarity often fall short?
They do. An ambiguous or just poorly communicated vision and mission can leave employees feeling directionless, maybe uninspired. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, no, why?
Misaligned objectives across different departments can lead to conflicting priorities, maybe internal competition for resources, and ultimately wasted effort.
Working against each other.
Unfortunately, yes. A lack of clear communication about the overall strategy can prevent team members lower down from making informed decisions in their day-to-day work. They don't see how their piece fits.
Right.
Resistance to strategic shifts, even when the market demands them, can lead to stagnation. And inconsistent or inadequate measurement makes it impossible to objectively assess whether your strategic initiatives are actually having the desired impact or if you need to adjust course.
So how do we foster this clarity? What are the opportunity levers?
Well, the levers for cultivating strategic clarity go beyond just, you know, writing a mission statement and putting it on the wall.
Right.
The playbook emphasizes the importance of conducting regular strategic review meetings.
Strategic reviews.
Yes, involving leadership from all the key departments. These sessions provide a dedicated, structured forum to revisit the core vision, assess progress towards the big objectives, identify emerging market trends or competitive threats.
Looking outwards.
Exactly. And ensuring that all the departmental strategies remain tightly aligned with the overarching business goals. This ongoing dialogue and collaborative review process is absolutely crucial for maintaining strategic focus over time.
It keeps everyone calibrated.
Perfectly put.
We saw a case study about this too, Whelan.
Yes, the Whelan case study offers a compelling example of the impact of achieving greater strategic clarity. They were operating successfully, but within a fairly niche segment of the liquid cooling market.
Okay.
However, through some deep strategic analysis, they recognized a much broader opportunity to serve the entire liquid cooling industry.
Ah, expanding their scope.
Significantly. It expanded their potential market dramatically and also diversified their risk. This clear strategic shift, which was communicated effectively across the whole organization, transformed them into a really indispensable player in that entire ecosystem.
Wow, big impact from a strategic shift.
Huge. And to help organizations achieve and maintain this kind of strategic clarity, our sources point to some valuable frameworks, things like WIS analysis, mission, objectives, strategies, tactics.
Okay.
The strategic clarity canvas, the clarity challenge framework, and GQM plus strategies, goals, questions, metrics, plus strategies.
So tools to structure the thinking.
Exactly. These tools provide structured approaches for defining, communicating, and measuring progress against your core strategic aims.
Okay, that's a lot to cover on the 6 blind spots. Now, these are all incredibly valuable insights, but if you're listening and thinking, wow, this is a lot to take in, how do I actually start applying this in my own business?
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming.
Right. Well, our sources, particularly that modern B2B sales training marketing playbook, also provide a kind of framework for how a consultancy like Patrick Cloak Consulting approaches these very blind spots.
Ah, okay. So how they put it into practice.
Exactly. And what's particularly insightful, I think, is their 6 blind spots approach. It neatly organizes the exact areas we've just explored.
So sales process.
Yep. Marketing alignment, team performance, customer experience, efficiencies and tools, and strategic clarity.
Right, the 6 we covered.
It's a structured framework that helps businesses gain that comprehensive view of the potential obstacles maybe hindering their growth, things they might not be seeing.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what kind of services do they offer around this?
Well, they offer services like in-depth business diagnostics and gap analysis, specifically designed to pinpoint those specific blind spots within an organization.
Finding the root cause.
Exactly. They also provide tailored one-on-one sales coaching to improve individual performance, efficiency-driven process development to help streamline those operations we talked about. And comprehensive sales team upskill and training programs to enhance capabilities across the board based on the identified needs.
And what sort of outcomes do they suggest clients can expect from addressing these blind spots?
They highlight some pretty tangible outcomes, things like achieving greater efficiency in operations, transforming teams from good to great, creating lasting impressions on customers through better CX, and ultimately building that base of loyal customers who drive repeat business and become advocates.
The ultimate goal for most businesses.
Absolutely. They even offer different engagement packages, sort of tiered, designed to meet various needs and budgets.
Okay.
There's a blind spot discovery package, which sounds like a focused initial assessment.
Starting point.
Yeah. Then a performance activation package that dives deeper into diagnosis and actually starts implementing targeted improvements. And an embedded excellence package, which sounds like a more comprehensive, longer-term transformation with ongoing support.
Different levels of engagement.
Right. And each package has clearly defined key features, estimated timelines, and indicative investment ranges, so it's transparent.
And what's really key, I think, is their emphasis on starting with that thorough diagnostic, first, the blind spot discovery.
Yeah. Why is that so important?
Well, it just underscores the importance of truly understanding the root causes of any challenges before you jump into implementing solutions.
Yeah.
You need to fix the right problem.
Don't just treat the symptoms.
Exactly. Diagnose before you prescribe.
Makes perfect sense. So as we bring this deep dive to a close then, it seems really clear that proactively identifying and addressing these often overlooked blind spots is absolutely essential,
Crucial.
especially for achieving sustainable and significant growth in today's, let's face it, really competitive B2B landscape.
No doubt about it.
Hopefully, you listening now have a much clearer understanding of the critical areas to evaluate within your own organization. You're kind of equipped with those key diagnostic questions we discussed and an awareness of the common pitfalls to look out for.
And this really leads to a crucial question for you, our listener, to maybe reflect on. Considering the six blind spots we've discussed today, sales process, marketing alignment, team performance, customer experience, efficiencies and tools, and strategic clarity.
The big six.
Yes. Which one feels like the most pressing area for you to explore further within your own context right now?
Oh, good question.
And perhaps more importantly, what is one small, actionable step you could commit to taking, maybe just this week, to gain a little more clarity in that specific area? Just one small step.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be massive, does it? Maybe it's just scheduling a quick review of your current sales process documentation, if it even exists.
Right. Or initiating a conversation with your marketing counterpart about how you both define a qualified lead.
Or maybe taking some time to reflect on your team's goals. Are they actually smart? Do you have good feedback mechanisms in place?
Could even be sending out a quick customer satisfaction survey just to get a pulse check.
Good idea. We'd encourage you to maybe delve deeper into some of the concepts we touched on, things like sales process mapping, marketing alignment strategies, team performance frameworks.
Customer journey analysis,
Yeah.
efficiency audits, using something like Lean or 5S, strategic planning tools like the MOST analysis.
Yeah, all those potential next steps in your journey of continuous improvement.
Because ultimately, a commitment to continuous self-assessment and a really proactive approach to identifying and addressing your blind spots,
Yeah.
well, that's vital.
Absolutely.
It's vital for navigating the ever-evolving world of B2B and truly unlocking your organization's full potential for growth and long-term success.